It's the Local Beat with O'Brien, brought to you by Vandemark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. And as we do each and every Wednesday morning here on The Morning Show, we go to the hotline and welcome in Dave O'Brien from the Chronicle-Telegram. Dave, how are we doing this morning?
We're fine, Rocco. Thank you.
Great to hear, Dave. Great to hear, as always. And wanted to start with a story that you and a couple of your colleagues over there at the CT worked together on, this new firearm or pair of firearm bills, I should say, signed into law on Monday by Ohio Governor Mike DeWine. And I think the big thing involved with these two laws is that now school boards will sort of have the option to determine whether they want their staff and faculty armed with firearms at the school or not. So I'll sort of let you take the reins from here, Dave. What do we need to know about these two laws, that law specifically, and what are all the important details that go into this?
Yeah, so along with another bill that that allows permitless or what some people call constitutional carry, along with that, there's this House Bill 99 that allows school boards to select certain staff members, whether it be their teachers or coaches or administrators, to carry firearms on in schools, ostensibly to prevent a mass shooting or to prevent violence, or it would be a deterrent, that kind of thing. The plan will require 24 hours of training for those teachers or staff members whose school boards choose them. Basically, it's been met with pretty much consistent criticism from the left, basically from the Ohio Democratic Party, more so onto the left and center, but then also from teachers unions, the Ohio Fraternal Order of Police, police unions, former teachers, school board members, and some safety advocates that we talked to, from the Chronicle. And basically, while Governor Mike DeWine says, the goal is to help public and private schools protect children, a number of teachers and current teachers and former teachers said, look, this is a bad idea. This is not something that we want. We're not comfortable, carrying guns. We're not comfortable having other people, carrying guns in the schools unless they're trained police officers. And there are already a number of schools that have school resource officers who patrol the schools, who are in the schools, who are known by the students. There are all sorts of concerns, and you and I talked talked earlier about what happens when a student and a teacher get into an argument and the teacher is armed. We've seen students get violent with teachers. Well, what happens when a teacher unfortunately resorts to, well, I have a gun. Why am I letting this child? Try to bully me or try to intimidate me. What happens if a teacher or a staff member takes out a gun to use the restroom, leaves it on the sink, or leaves it in one of the bathroom stalls, leaves it on their desk just absentmindedly? 24 hours of training, the critics say, is not really enough to prevent any of these things from happening. Moms Demand Action of Lorain County, former teacher Laura Irvin, who is one of the leaders of that group, testified against this bill in Columbus after it was proposed. She said it was poorly written and that more guns in schools won't make children more safe. She said, and I quote, "They don't trust teachers to teach history or literature. Why do they trust them to have a gun? And if police officers in a number of situations have not had the guts," and these are her words, "if they don't have the guts to go in and confront a gunman, do you think they're going to trust the teacher to do so?" There's also, some question about whether there's ever been a single instance in the United States of a teacher who has stopped a school shooting with a gun. I don't know of one. Laura Irvin didn't know of one, and I couldn't tell you without a significant amount of research whether that's actually ever happened. Now, a number of even, Republican legislators, State Representative Gail Manning from North Ridgeville, was one of five Republicans to side with Democrats to oppose the bill. State Senators Matt Dolan, Stephanie Coons, State Reps Sarah Fowler Arthur and Thomas Patton were the other ones. Some of them have significantly, positive ratings, A ratings from the Buckeye Firearms Association, but they went against the party on this one. Gail Manning is a former teacher herself, taught third grade, and she said she's taken some training. She took the concealed carry class, and she learned what goes into responsible gun ownership. And that's what people want. It seems to be a lot of the critics want responsibility, and this, they say, is not a responsible bill.
Well, and I think Representative Manning's big point there, especially with her having gone through concealed carry training and all of that, she thinks that the hours of training should be closer to the 700 mark, which is what police officers must complete in terms of their firearm training, not just 24, but 700 hours she is advocating for. So you can see there's still quite a bit of difference in terms of the thinking from the two sides that are going into these bills. And Dave, when's the soonest that we could see this take effect? Would this be as early as next school year? Do you know?
Well, I think it's going to be up to a lot of the school boards. To my understanding, is that it's going to be up to a lot of the school boards to cast votes or to create some sort of policy behind this. I don't know if there's a specific date that any of this would necessarily take effect, but. Mm-hmm. I think, and again, as we talked about before, I think there are some school districts that will jump on this immediately, and there will be some that will take a more measured approach and determine if it's right for their communities, and there are some that will just say outright, look, we don't think this is a good idea, and apparently there was one district in Cuyahoga County within the past several days that sent out a letter that said no matter if this is state law or not, our school board will not approve having more firearms in the schools in the hands of even trusted adults that we've trained to be teachers and not to be armed guards. Teachers already, and somebody else I talked to about this story said, look, teachers are already trained to be counselors. They're already your stand-in parents for 6, 7, 8, 9 or more hours a day. They already spend their own money to buy school supplies. Are they going to have to buy, are they going to have to buy their own ammunition and buy their own guns? Right. Is that going to be another thing that is going to have to be, that's going to have to be purchased, with their own money? When are you going to do this training? Are you going to have 3 in-service days? Are the kids going to get off of school for 3 days so you can complete the minimum 24-hour training requirement? Who's going to be doing the training, and who's going to get paid to train people? Will that be somebody, will that be somebody attached to someone who is on the committee, or will that be somebody who is attached to, the Republican Party or Democrats who supported this, which there were none? Who's going to be earning the money to do the concealed carry, not concealed carry training, but the firearms training? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of questions that still are unanswered about all of this.
And we will continue to follow along with House Bill 99. Dave, great work out of you and your colleagues over there at the Chronicle, from getting some local quotes from our local members in terms of leadership and education from around the area. So if our listeners are interested in reading up more on that, you can head on over to chronicletea.com or pick up a copy of that Chronicle Telegram today. Dave, the other story, or stories, I guess you could say, I wanted to talk about with you here today. You had 2 stories over the weekend regarding the former Avon Lake power plant. Some union debates going on here, and some debates over the removal of some hazardous waste material still within that power plant. So what all is happening here?
So if folks will remember, quick summary, the Avon Lake power plant, which has been in operation or had been in operation for about 95 years, recently closed down, had some layoffs there. It's a coal-fired, more than 600 megawatt coal-fired power plant on the shores of Lake Erie, up in Avon Lake, and it's going to be demolished. A company owned by Chara Solutions. Chara Solutions is out of Kentucky. A company called let me get this right here. This is the Avon Lake Environmental Redevelopment Group, or ALERG, has basically been formed to remediate any of the asbestos, the lead, the hazardous materials inside the plant that have accumulated there, over the past 95, almost 100 years, and take all those and deposit them in the proper, proper places. Well, this is anger, and all of those workers have been brought in from out of state or are non-union, and this has angered some of the local unions, primarily Laborers Local 758, and their vice president and Avon Lake resident by the name of Ryan McDavid told me last week that basically, they want more union jobs. They want trained union personnel making, making union wages to do this work rather than shipping in workers from out of state who might not be trained to handle hazardous materials like asbestos and lead, in a former coal-fired power plant. He claimed that the non-union workers were only making $16 an hour, weren't getting per diem payments for meals or travel. They weren't allowed to leave the plant, and they weren't allowed to spend any of their hard-earned money in Avon Lake. Meals were being brought in for them. They were being kept away from the union protesters outside, who were out there for about 3 hours on Friday. Now, ALERG denied all of these claims. They said that workers are allowed to come and go as they please as long as they're on break. There are no unsafe practices being used during cleanup, and the Ohio EPA was there, and they didn't see any violations. I briefly spoke with a spokesperson for the Ohio EPA. No violations were observed. All the work at the site is being completed per regulations and according to safe practices, according to an ALERG spokesperson. And they have also been in contact with the city. The city has gotten a list of contractors and workers. Those contractors and workers are apparently paying the taxes that they owe to the city for the work that they're completing. There's some back and forth here between the union and between ALERG that's going to continue. The union has said that they will be back out and that they will protest again in the future. And that's kind of the status of that. There's some disagreement over what exactly is going on in the former power plant.
Dave, do you know if the protesters will be bringing back their inflatable fat cat and inflatable rat that were out on display? I thought the picture of that was pretty funny in the Chronicle.
Yeah, I don't know. And the fat cat and the rat, I've seen them in a number of protests and demonstrations in the past. And they were actually the focus of the rat especially was the focus of a significant if you really want to go in the weeds about free speech and the right to protest under the First Amendment, there is a famous court case dealing with the right of unions and protesters to use that rat who comes with the affectionate nickname of Scabby the Rat. And that came about as a result of a protest. I believe it was in New York State, but again, that's a little off topic. But yeah, I do not know if the rat and the fat cat will be back, but we will see. We will keep in touch with all parties concerned and see if that the inflatables are going to come back.
Well, the ever endearing Stabby the Rat. We'll see if he rears that head once again over there at the former Avon Lake Power Plant. Great stuff from you, Dave, in that Chronicle Telegram over the weekend. Again, Dave O'Brien is our guest from the Chronicle Telegram on the local beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. Dave, what are you and your colleagues over there at the Chronicle working on this week as far as upcoming stories go?
Well, it's going to be hot, hot, hot out there. So everybody stay cool, stay indoors as much as you can, stay air conditioned, drink a lot of water. And if the heat starts to cause bad things to happen, we will certainly be on top of any news that comes from that. I will be investigating more about the Lorain County Commissioners when the commissioners meet this week, and just whatever else happens. Some court stories that I'm looking to work on, and some updates from the city of Avon, city of Elyria, from my colleague Kevin Martin, who's going to attend some meetings this week. So whatever happens. Your local news source, ChronicleT.com or Chronicle Telegram print edition.
And if there are any of you out there who perspire extremely easily, such as myself, my thoughts and prayers are with you for these next few coming days. Going to be a scorcher for sure. All right, Dave, before we get you out of here, my favorite part of the week, what do you have for me in the way of a scanner story?
Well, we're going back to Cleveland, courtesy of Northeast Ohio Scanner on Twitter. Dateline Cleveland Edgewater Park, a disturbance when a black SUV exited Edgewater. A woman was actually standing on top of the SUV that was moving about 50 miles per hour. It was unknown who was driving.
Well, it's just a little bit of an extension of the boogie board right there, right? You know, you're riding those waves, and now we're riding SUVs on out of there, I guess. So it never stops for those boogie boarding fanatics. Wow, great stuff as always. Dave, appreciate the entertaining scanner story and a good insight into what's happening right now in and around Lorain County. So, Dave, appreciate the time as always. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again next week.
All right, Rocco. We'll talk to you then.